Everybody got one. Okay, good, good, good. I want to share real quick. I'm not going to go long on this because I want to get to this great wedding that we're going to be doing. But I want to encourage you this morning. God is doing some mighty things, people. You know, even in the midst of the storms that are going on, the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the earthquakes, Mexico had an 8-point-some earthquake down there. And Jesus said these things were going to happen all over the world. It's a mark of the end times. It's going to happen, and it's going to increase. But as we keep our focus on the Lord and our trust in Him, God will be there. He will be there with you. I believe that. I believe that. I'm not going to get into whether it's judgment or not judgment or this or that. Everybody's got their own opinion on it. But I do know this, that some of the choices we make as people in this country is very costly. We have to be so careful, so careful. But God is on the throne. God is still there. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still delivering His people. But I want to talk to you about the breaker anointing, that breaker anointing that's in you this morning. And my scripture that I want to use is Micah chapter 2. And Micah talks about in that day, anytime you read Isaiah, Micah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, a lot in the Old Testament, if you see anything that says in that day, usually it's talking about when the Lord returns or during the millennium or sometime in that range there, He talks about that. But God begins to talk about that He's going to bring all the Israel people back again. But I believe He's talking about when He returns in this scripture, and He's going to bring back the remnant. People are already going back to Israel, the Israelis, the Jews from all over the world. And that was one of the prophecies that's been spoken in the end times. But Micah 2 says this, I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob, I will surely collect the remnant of Israel. I will bring them, Israel, together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They, the fold and the pasture, shall swarm with men and hum with much noise. I like this verse 13. It says, the breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate, and go out through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. Now, the book of Micah, the children of Israel were few and they were scattered, but God said He was going to personally lead and gather them back to the land. The prophet Micah, in one of the translations, said that He was going to gather them from their enemies, where they were prisoners, whatever, and gather them back. The prophet Micah prophesied, the breaker has come up before them. This verse he's talking about, Jesus is the breaker. Their king, their Lord Yahweh, is the breaker. And let me say this, the anointing is within you. When you gave your life to Jesus, the anointing was within you because Jesus came within your spirit. Your spirit was born again. And that anointing is within us. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for the anointing in me. Amen. So when you gave your life to the Lord, that anointing came within you. Now I want you to see something here. The first point I want you to write down is God wants you to experience supernatural breakthrough in every area of your life. Every area of your life. God wants you to experience breakthrough. If you're going through things this morning, it seems like things are not moving, things are not happening. You've been praying, you've been believing God, and things are not moving like they should. Remember this, the anointing is in you, that breaker anointing to declare and decree God's word and to begin to speak. Sometimes you got to speak to the mountain, whatever that mountain is. It's a mountain of sickness, a mountain of lack, mountain of whatever, depression, discouragement. Sometimes you got to rise up and that anointing in you, that Jesus is in you, those words are powerful that you speak. Speak them out and begin to declare what God says in His word, not what you see, but what God says, because I want to show you something. The word breaker in the Hebrew is the word peratz, which means to break through, to bust out, to be broken down and to break away. When we are in bondage, sometimes we get bound up. That is the time that we need God, the breaker, the anointed breaker, to come and to break us free from the things in our life. I don't know about you, but I needed God. And when I found God and I gave my life to the Lord, those things broke off in my life. Things began to break off as I began to honor the Lord and began to read His Word and began to just fellowship with Him. Things began to break off in my life. And I know that many of you here, that God, when you gave your life to the Lord, that anointing, the power of the Lord came within you, and things started to break free like never before. Things are never the same. So we know that God wants supernatural breakthrough in every area of our life. Where the enemy sometimes tries to come and bind us up, God wants to break that off. He wants to set you free, no matter what it is. So it means to break through, to have a breakthrough in your life, to bust out and to be broken down. God sometimes has to, He wants to break those walls down in our life that sometimes maybe we put up. Sometimes that we have put up in our own life by some of the decisions and choices we make, and He just wants to get rid of those things in our life. This is what we call the breaker anointing. The breaker anointing is the yoke destroying. Everybody knows what a yoke is. That is what they put on the oxen when they were pulling in the field. And that yoke was around their neck. And sometimes life can be a yoke. Sometimes circumstances and situations we go through can yoke us down and bind us up. But God is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing, powerful God that He is, which causes us to experience breakthrough, supernatural breakthrough in our lives. The breaker is one who clears the way. God wants to clear the way. He wants to remove the obstacle, and He wants to lead us down His path. Now, Proverbs and Psalms says that, you know, God will make the crooked path straight. Sometimes we get off the path, but God wants to put us back on the path and make those straight. Now, when Israel was in the wilderness, God led them. He was leading them to their destination, and that was the promised land. Let's look at Exodus 23, 20. It says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep and to guard you on the way to bring you to a place I have prepared. Give heed to him, listen to and obey his voice." Now, I want you to see something here. When you read in the Old Testament, sometimes it'll say the angel of the Lord. Now, we know there's angels. We know angels surround us. Angels watch over us. When you gave your life to the Lord, you were given an angel. Some believe you were given two angels. Hey, you know what? I'll take the support. But you were given an angel. His job is to follow you everywhere you go. In fact, he records everything that you do. You're looking at me like, what? The works that you do. And these books will be brought to before the Lord, because the Bible says the book was opened in a book. So that's another story. But what the angel's job is you notice he said that he's going to go before you. He's going to clear the way. He's going to bring you to your destination. He's going to make sure there's no obstacles in your way. So Israel had the angel of the Lord. And you know who the angel of the Lord, capital A, was? It was Jesus. He was the angel of the Lord. Now, we know that when Abraham was sitting by the tree before the Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, it said three men came to him. Well, two of them were angels and one was the Lord. How do we know? Because you don't bow before angels. They'll tell you to get up and say, "Do not bow before me." But one of the angels, Abraham, bowed, and it was the Lord himself that came with him, to remind Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. Okay, so we see here that sometimes when you see angel of the Lord, it's actually the Lord himself leading Israel, because he was a cloud by day to protect him from the heat, and he was a fire by night to keep him warm in the desert. That's who God was. It said that God came down when Moses was at the tent. God came down to visit him. So we see the angel of the Lord. So after all that, let's look at this. It says, I sent an angel before you to keep you, guard you in the way to bring you a place I have prepared, which would have been the promised land. Give heed to him, listen and obey his voice. See, God was with them, going before them, delivering them from all distresses in spite of their rebellion sometimes. Now look at Isaiah 63:8. It says he was with them. He was to them a savior in all their distresses. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love, in his pity, he redeemed them. And he lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. That's what God did for Israel in the desert. And how much more does God do that for us through Jesus? Write your second point down. God wants to restore and heal all that has been broken down in your life. God wants to restore and heal all that's been broken down in your life. Listen, sometimes we don't understand why. But we have to be obedient to say, yes, Lord. When we begin to question God, then we begin to question his sovereignty, his miracle power, who God is, and what God wants to do in our life. Let's look at Amos 9. It says, in that day, notice it says in that day, so it's going to talk about during the time of the Lord's return or before or when the Lord has already returned. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, the fallen hut or booth, which would be the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, and close up its breaches. And I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. See, God's in the restoring business. He's in the restoring business. We serve an awesome God, a good God. And as we begin to focus on him and begin to surrender our problems to him, God has that breaker anointing that wants to break. It wants to break the walls down, but it also wants to protect by building walls up around us, closing up the breaches where the enemy gets through. Closing those places where the enemy, when Nehemiah, we did a series on Nehemiah. Nehemiah had all these holes, all the walls were down. And he built up, and it says he built up all these breaches or where the enemy could get in. This is interesting. When you look up the word breach, it's a word called peretz. The other one was peratz. They're from the same root word, what means a gap, broken walls, or breaches. And it's pretty close to the same word as the breaker anointing as it is to the building anointing, restoring and beginning to build. Where the enemy has broken through the walls of defense, God said he was going to close those breaches and rebuild it all. So what the enemy has done, the ravaging he has done, one day God is going to rebuild it all. Do you realize that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth? The old one's going to be passed away, and there's going to be a new one. Things are going to be totally different. When you read the book of Revelation, one day, to think that we will never die, but we will live with Christ, rule and reign with him for eternity. In a new heaven, in a new earth, everything that the enemy has done through the centuries, since the beginning of time of Adam till now, that God is going to rebuild and restore all the things that have been broken down. But he is in the rebuilding and restoring right now. The Bible says this, Jesus was anointed by God to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to set the oppressed free. This was a key of unlocking his earthly ministry. Let's look at Luke 4:18. Here we see Jesus, after 30 years as a carpenter, working for his dad. He finally, after 30 years, comes into the temple. We stood in that temple, believing that's where Jesus spoke these words right here from Isaiah. What was his ministry? Let's look at it. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So he comes in before all these Jewish Pharisees, Sadducees, and scholars, and he begins to read this quote from Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." Everybody say, "Anointed me." There's that breaker anointing that's going to destroy yokes. It's going to destroy the works of the devil. It's going to rebuild by healing, by delivering, and setting people free. "He has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, to preach to prisoners, even prisoners of war that have been captivated, that have been hurt and wounded." He says, "You are set free. I have come to share this message of the Jubilee." The word Jubilee means that every 50 years in the Old Testament, all the slaves were free, all the land went back to its original owners, everybody that had debt were canceled. You like that? They were canceled, but everybody was set free from the bondages. That was the Jubilee. And so Jesus comes and he says, "For a time of God's great acceptance has begun." So Jesus stood up and he said, "I am the Jubilee." I'm the Jubilee. I'm that 50th year that's going to come, and mine's going to be every day, every second, every minute of your life. Jesus clearly defined his mission by reading these words of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus came to give good news. And in that good news, everything he said he was going to do for us. Now let's look at Acts 10:38. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what?" The Holy Spirit and power. There's that breaker anointing. "Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the..." For God was with him. That was Jesus' ministry to us. See, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come into the world to beat everybody up, to point fingers at them, and to make you feel rotten after you leave a service because they are nothing but rotten sinners. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. He came to give us life and life more abundantly, his life. We know we're sinners. How many figured that out? How many figured it out before you knew God? I knew I was a sinner. I didn't need anybody reminding me. I needed someone to remind me how good God is and how good God can be as I'm obedient to him. But the passion, let's look at this. I like this. It says, "Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil. For God's manifest presence rested upon him." We know that Jesus is God, but we also know that he was the Son of Man anointed with power of God. In other words, Jesus was the anointing, it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit in and upon him to do the works he did. The Bible said he came to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sickness, disease, poverty, all the things that the enemy can put upon people to bring destruction upon their lives. Jesus said, "I came to destroy that." Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn, I came to save." He's not in the condemning business. We have an enemy that condemns us, beats us up, tells us we're not worthy, we're no good. Even sometimes when we make mistakes and we miss it, that's why we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. That's why he died for our sins. Not that we could continue sinning, but that we have somebody that sets us free like never freedom before. I don't know about you, but I've never been so free in God. Jesus, that destroyed yokes of bondage. God was within him, and he healed, and he delivered people. You notice when you read the Gospels, everywhere Jesus went, people thronged him, and he healed them. He cast out demonic strongholds in their life. He broke those things. He broke it. That breaker anointing broke all those things off of the people that would be willing to trust him and go to him by faith. Your last point, I want you to write this down. God wants you to allow and operate in that anointing to help others to have breakthrough in their own life. Why has God called us just to be saved, then die and go to heaven? No. He called us because we have gifts and we got talents and we got things that we can be used of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to use that anointing that's within you to see people set free. By sharing the love of Jesus, by telling people that God loves them, God is with them, that God wants to change their life from glory to glory. When we were at, the other day, some of us went to the conference in Grand Rapids. And some of the things they were teaching, the last session was really, really good. John Varikan is a missionary. Well, he's a missionary in, that's his life. He lived there all his life, most of it. 30-some years, he's been a missionary in Paraguay. He's built churches in Paraguay. He's built churches in Peru, in Mexico, and all over. But that's his home. He flies to come here for the conferences, 2,500 miles. But God is just using him miraculously. And he spoke at the last session, and I just can't forget what he had said, because he said this. He said, when we get Jesus into our lives and in our hearts, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, and we go down goodness, meekness, self-control, all these things he was talking about. He said the fruit of the Spirit is not for us. It's for other people to get nourishment from us. Isn't that awesome? When somebody's down and they need the joy of the Lord, bring some joy to their life. Begin to encourage them and say, hey, let me talk to you about Jesus. Let me tell you about God's love. And begin to minister and put some joy in their life. And he was talking about making deposits in people's life, not making withdrawals. See, we are so busy sometimes making withdrawals from people that we forget to deposit in them. It was so powerful that was the greatest revelation, as far as I'm concerned, Ken probably agree, of the whole meetings. Was that last one when he said that? That's what it's all about. They were all good. But making deposits in people's lives, on your job, wherever you are, making a deposit of love, making a deposit of mercy, making a deposit of grace, finding something to deposit instead of taking withdrawals all the time. Because people will withdraw, but God wants us to take the fruit of the Spirit, the anointing, that breaker anointing, that anointing in our life, and make a deposit in somebody's life. There's a lot of people that are hurting, they're down, they're discouraged, and you are the one that can make a deposit. And this is what he said. He said every day when he gets up, he asks the Lord to bring somebody in his path so he can make a deposit. So I've been starting to do that. I said, Lord, okay, I'm going to be out here, bikes on the bricks, whatever. Help me to make a deposit in somebody else's life. And God will not fail. He will bring somebody, or you'll go to somebody, and to begin to say, Lord, deposit in this person's life what you've already deposited in me. And I thought that was so neat, because it's that anointing that God wants to use us people. Here's what he says in 1 John. But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment of the unction of the Holy Spirit, which you receive from him, abides permanently in you. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got so many things that I'm going through. I feel discouraged. I feel like I don't have anything within me. It's there. You just got to release that. Spend some time before the Lord and let that anointing begin to flow again in your life. The more time we spend with the Lord, the more anointing that's going to come forth. The anointing is the Holy Spirit poured into us, bringing life, illumination, wisdom, fruit of the Spirit, and the power from the indwelling life of Jesus himself inside of us. Just like the people during the Bible days needed to experience a powerful anointing in order to shift their lives and circumstances, you and I also need to experience that same anointing in our lives. The anointing has the power to break barriers, patterns, life-controlling issues that are operating in the lives or in the lives of those that we're believing God or we're praying for. And we begin to release that anointing in your life and watch God do some great things. It doesn't matter how long you've been bound or how difficult the situation you're facing or somebody else is facing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been bound or how difficult. It doesn't matter. The breaker anointing is more powerful than any obstacle that stands before you and before that person you're praying for. Powerful, very powerful. Let me close with this. The anointing has been placed on your life for a reason. It is within you, people. If you are truly born again by the Spirit of Christ, that anointing's within you. The Holy Spirit is within you, wanting to move through you to be a vessel of honor for his glory. God has released in you the yoke-destroying, burden-removing anointing that produces supernatural breakthrough in every area of our lives and in the lives of other people. I'm not afraid anymore to go to people outside and begin to share God with them. I'm not. I'm not afraid to pray with somebody. Can I pray for you? And lay hands on them and pray, God, sick them. Get them. Sick them with the Holy Ghost, that they will know that, God, you're real. I remember one time, and I shared this a long time ago, but when we worked in San Francisco on the streets, and these people would come, and when you're being obedient to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will move mightily through you. Trust me. That's God's business. He wants to see people set free. I've seen the prostitutes. I've seen the homosexuals. I've seen every person in that place. At one time, we blocked off Eddy Street of San Francisco, which has never been blocked off in the history of man. But God blocked it off. I remember the cops came, they threw the barriers up and said, you're on your own, we're out of here. That was the place that where the drugs were sold, and we blocked the streets off, and we had us a revival. We invited a band to come in, and they were afraid to even play down there. It was so bad. But we knew God was with us. And when they started to play that group that night, Daryl, a friend of mine, pastor, started to preach the power of God. I need to say this. I have never seen the power of God fall the way it did in a long time. But the power of God fell in the street. The people that were cursing us, the people that were throwing eggs at us, the people that were mad at us in a split second had changed, were bawling and on their knees. The whole street was covered with prostitutes, homosexuals, junkies, every person you could think of were on their knees crying out to God. The whole street was prostrate before God. The power of God was just, that was that breaker anointing. That was the power of the Holy Spirit wanting to set people free no matter what. And I remember the time that we were playing on the street and this guy walked up and we laid hands on him and God sobered him up instantly. The power of God hit him, that it changed his life, changed him. I took him down to the Richmond Rescue Mission, dropped him off, messed up in alcohol, come all the way from South Carolina. Walking down the street one night, and a bunch of us crazy-looking hippie guys are playing guitars, tambourines, and we're making noise to the Lord right on the street corner down in San Francisco. He come by, and one of my friends, Skip Pastor, said, I'll pray for you. You want to feel God? And he goes, yeah, I want to feel God. He was so drunk, he couldn't even stand. I want to feel God. Laid hands on him, sobered him instantly. His eyes were just huge looking at us. What just happened? He goes, God touched me. God touched me. And he just started freaking out. So we took him home. And then the next day, he said, take me down to the rescue mission in Richmond. And so we did. Dropped him off, Dave Joseph. Never thought about much what happened to him. Come back for a funeral 5 years later. The leader of our group got killed in a car accident. Went to his funeral, and Dave Joseph at that time was just a skinny black guy, just skinny as a rail. Come up, and there's this big burly guy walking down. Hey, Artie. Give me a hug. Huh? Who are you? Dave? I thought, man, Dave Joseph, that's you? He said, yeah, that's me. Anyway, he had two kids at that time, was married, and he was working in the rescue mission in Richmond. He was there as a getting through the training and going through the program to get free. And the next thing you know, he started working for him. Candy and I have been married 41 years. That would have been our second, third year of marriage. A few years ago, I called San Francisco and asked about Dave Joseph. They said he had just passed away. He had been there over 30-some years, ministering to other people. Listen, you'll never know whose life you will touch by leaving a touch on their life. You'll never know. It could change their life like it did Billy Graham. When Billy Graham was looking in the window of a church and was outside as a kid and looking in there, listening to the sermon, gave his life to Jesus by just looking in the church. And look what God has done with that man. You never know. It's a breaker anointing that needs to be released in us by the Holy Spirit. We need to declare with our mouths that any and all bondage, stagnation, hindrances, or resistance in our life, it's broken down by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that every blessing and promise held captive by the enemy must be released in Jesus' name in our lives and in the lives of the people. We need to declare that the anointed one, Jesus Christ, and his anointing is activated and released in our lives. We need to begin to thank the Lord, people, that all demonic activity is seized and the angels of God are loosed to war on our behalves in Jesus' name. That's the angels, what they want to do. They want to work, and they want to be used, but they can only be used as if we are obedient to follow the promises of God. By faith, we break out or any, all forms of captivity. God's word says that we will know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Therefore, we declare that we are made free by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We have to thank the Lord for his freedom and victory that's in Jesus and in our life, in Jesus' name. So I want to challenge you that God has given you the victory. The anointing is within you, people. God's breaker anointing is always there to set you free by his power and by his anointing. God's not mad at you. God is in love with you. He's in love with the people out there. Yes, sin separates us from God, but it's because of Jesus and what he did. And it's only because of Jesus and what he did. We are here today. Amen. And we are who we are because of that anointing and that breakthrough. So my challenge to you is, as you begin to step in and you begin to bring fellowship with the Lord and spend time with him, that anointing will begin to flow more and more through your life as you fellowship with him. See, he is the anointing, but there's something about fellowship. There's something about that fellowship with him. Something about spending time with him in his presence in allowing that presence to enter you and get into you, and getting that presence out there in the workforce, in the marketplace, and see people get free because of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, this morning, we thank you for the privilege and honor to serve you. We thank you for the anointing that shatters and destroys every yoke of bondage. Father, the things that we have struggled with, the things that have bound, the things that have come against your people, we thank you that greater are you within us than he that's in the world. And right now, Father, if there's people here that are struggling, they feel like they're up against that wall, they feel like that there's a barrier between you and them, we ask that wall to be broken down in Jesus' name. The wall of addiction, the wall of struggles, Lord, the wall of sickness and disease, that breakthrough, Lord, that they need in their life. And Father, where the enemy is getting in, we pray that you will raise up a standard and you will begin to close those breaches. And Lord, we know that it's the choices and decisions we make that will cause those breaches to be closed, those accesses to the enemy. Lord, you said in your word, don't give place to the enemy. Don't give place. So, Father, this morning, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his presence. We thank you for that anointing that is in this place even now. Father, I just pray for healing, for those that need healing. I pray for those that need freedom. I pray for those that are in bondage to addictions, alcohol, Lord, whatever it may be, Father, that they are free in Jesus' name right now. Lord, that thing is broken off of them. We break the power of that yoke of the enemy in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your shalom, your freedom, and your deliverance. Father, thank you this morning for your mercy, your compassion, and your grace. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Those that don't know you, Father, I pray that they will make that decision this morning to say, yes, Lord, I make you Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. And Father, they will ask you, if not here, Lord, at home when they're driving, Holy Spirit, make yourself real to them. Father, we thank you for everything you've given us through Jesus. We give you all the honor, all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise.